How much did, when you were playing for Gloucester, did you have to do with the committee? Did you see the committee very much?
Not a lot, really, no. They saw these the men in grey suits. Used to sit in that room by the, where they come through the old entrance up there in the corner there. And yeah. Used to look through the windows. Oh, they're the hanging judges. They're in there. And I never forget Mike Teague's dad, old Terry, Mr. Teague Senior. He used to sit in the clubhouse on a Thursday night with his two pals, and they'd be having a pint in the corner there. Nobody else is in there, and I used to sit in there and watch and wait for the team sheet. And everything said, "One day your name will be up there. One day your name will be up there." I'll never forget it now. And I used to sit there and wait to see if I was playing. Sit there and wait to see if I was playing. Really, really wanted to play. And so now I never really knew who the faceless men were, really. You know, that was their job. The only way to sort of get involved, really, is to play well and leave it to them.
Yeah. I wondered if you'd ever had any dealings with the likes of Tom Boyce.
I knew Tom very late on his life and everything else and so on, but my father had been introduced to him many years ago. And after all, the late, great Tom Boyce, I went to South Africa and I found more about Tom Boyce in South Africa than I knew people had told me in Gloucester. You know, they rated him as one of the best flank forwards I'd ever seen, and the man who actually designed the modern game. This man from Bloemfontein, Tjoerd Visser, told me the whole history of Gloucester Rugby Club and Tommy Boyce. He was the man who designed positions. Till then, he was just a forward. He had back row, second row, front row. Now, that was quite innovative, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he was a big man as an old man. I met him, he was quite a very elderly man. But he was still a big man. I thought, you know, what must he have been when he was in his prime? He must have been a real giant of a man. Obviously was. And so, again, I think the history of the club is great because you meet the men today, they didn't even heard of Tommy Boyce.
And in fact, the South Africans rated him as a centre as well, because he had to turn out in the centre.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I remember the club doctor, the tour doctor in 1980 on my Lions tour, Jack Matthews, who played in the centre with Lennon Williams for Cardiff, and they played for the Lions together. And he used to tell me stories about Tommy Boyce, you know, and Jack Matthews, unfortunately, is no longer with us. He just died not long ago.
Well, Tom was labelled as the scourge of the Welsh by them.
Yeah, by them. Well, that's an accolade alone, isn't it? That's an accolade alone, isn't it? You know? And the old, you know, the Gloucester Greyhound, Peter Ford, you know, another tough man. Don Rutherford, who actually designed training for Gloucester. You know, till then, if it was cold, he used to stand around there, saw the hut there, that's it, we're not going out tonight. You know, actually brought some systems in and everything else and so on.
Yeah.
I've heard Don talk about it, and it's quite a little, you know, people hear it today, they go, what, how could they possibly do it? They just did. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
And
I think he found that quite hard going, though, to persuade some of the hard-bitten players.
Wouldn't you, some of them? You can imagine trying to get someone to do it? I can imagine that, definitely. You know, Don the Boot came down and put some systems in place, an idea of training. We do this, we do that. Well, we've never done that before. You know, it's like when I used to go weight training. I remember going training with Mike Teague on a tour in South Africa. We went, my last major tour, we went down there and I wanted to go and find a gym to train in. And we went and found this gym, and it was a very, very basic gym, you know, reinforcing bars and clumps of concrete on the end. And we came back in. And the tour manager said to me, "Where have you been?" "So we've been weight training." "Oh, I don't know, weight training is bad for you." I said to my team, he said, "He's wrong, we're right."
Yeah.
Nobody did it. No, or some did it, but very, very few. Now, if you said that to a modern player today, they wouldn't, you're talking, you know, "What do you mean? You know, no, didn't do it." And diet, I remember going on a Gloucestershire game to play Warwickshire up at Coventry, and they stop at 12 o'clock and have a bloody great steak. Steak and chips and all the trimmings and everything else and so on. And I didn't eat mine. I gave mine to somebody else and he ate it as well. And he's playing. You know, I thought, no, my breakfast was, in athletics, I'd have a bowl of cereal and a bit of toast. Maybe 11 o'clock I'd have a sandwich or a jam sandwich or something and a drink, you know, and everything else and so on, and nothing. And then they were stuck in it, steak and chips and trimmings, starters, main course, and a sweet. And playing. You know, so the modern era today would freak with that. So it's just total change. Well, it's like everything. Everything moves on. You know, cars, technology, But certainly I think the player have a better backup today as far as medical backup goes and treatment goes and everything else. But they still get injured.
Yeah.
They still get injured, and quite badly, some of them too. You know, yeah. It's got some big boys running head on into one another.
Well, on the whole, careers are getting shorter now.
Yeah, I think they are. I think the intensity of the games are higher because our games, bumping and boring in the scrums, but you weren't actually... and they were hard, yes, but a different type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you weren't playing a hard game every single week. No disrespect when the teams you played against. But I've been playing all Merchant Taylors on sort of Boxing Day.
And yeah.
It's like 100 points, you know, and playing other sides, and it wasn't a hard game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas today, every single game really... Every game mattered, but now it's your living... And it's the club, how it's going to survive. Everything's a league game or a cup game,
yeah.
Isn't it? There's no game you can afford to say, we put a lesser team out. You can't do that.
No.
You need every game to win because every game matters, doesn't it? So I think there's more intensity in the games. And
it's a longer season.
It is and a half, yeah. Because I remember on the tour when some guys wouldn't tour, they'd had enough of the season, wouldn't go. Remember England's tour, my last tour to South Africa. None of the established second rows went. They wouldn't go. I think so. John Scott went the second row, and he'd been back all his career for England, and John Fiddler. John never sat on the bench at home. Yet nobody wanted to go. They all had enough. Season's over. Thank you very much. But nowadays, they go, don't they? And they come back, and they don't stop there. They sort of... Well, straight into the game again because the guys have been, you know, pre-season training on tour and everything else and so on. They're straight in again, so there's no break. You know, there's not many physical contact games where I think they play an awful lot of games. I know we play games, but I think the intensity of the games are different, and I think they just don't get a break sometimes. I think guys are breaking down quicker, definitely. Yeah, they definitely seem to break it down quick. All these youngsters are here, an operation on the shoulder, an operation, an operation on that. It's always an operation. It's never sort of recuperation time and get it right and everything else and so on. Because what I know from the medical world is every time you have an operation, it ages. It ages. So some of these guys got bits of them. Well, Phil Vickery must have bits 10, 15 years older than him. What's Phil going to be like in 20 years' time?
Yeah.
You know, the amount of operations and bashing around he's had.
Well, I think the fundamental problem is there's an awful lot more muscle out there now, but you know you can't do anything about strengthening the joints and things like that, can you?
Well, it reaches a point, doesn't it? They're all wearing this padding as well, and actually because they think that's an illusion, and I think they're going even faster and harder. Whereas sometimes they think, that crunches a bit, I can't go in as hard, so next time. Whereas nowadays they fly in, don't they? I think it is, their careers aren't going to go so long. They still get a lot of bad injuries, don't they? But they're so keen, because the guys are professionals now, to get a knife in to put the problem right, rather than have a long course of physio and put it right. It's knife straight away, isn't it? Because we're paying you, we need you out there.
Yeah.
And you're expendable. You know, we'll get another player. It's like football. It's like any professional, it has an element of, but in the end, if you're no good to them, you're no good to them. And you've got to get out there. It's a tough game. Tough game, you know, somebody drops out, somebody else steps in and plays well, don't they? And they got the position, all of a sudden your career from being top dog, somebody comes in and plays well, you can't get back in, so the club thinks, well, you're expensive. We can get him, he's cheaper. We can bin you and keep him and buy another player in. You know, it's a business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, that's the way it is. In my era, if you weren't playing, they weren't interested. That's for certain. You know, I broke my neck and I was lying in the hospital bed and nobody came to see me.
Really?
Yeah, just some players came, that was all. So I learnt then, you're today's news, you're tomorrow's chip paper, no matter who you are.
Yeah. It's a harsh world out there.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. The only people who care for you, the ones nearest and dearest to you.
Yeah.
You know, my problems are bigger than yours. And that's the way of the world, isn't it? So no, you don't get illusions you're indispensable or, you know, everyone's going to be your friend, because that's not the case. Enjoy it while you've got it, because somebody else will take it on. And it's the same with the club and the same with the rugby and everything else and so on. You know, great men gone before, great men have been there, and great men will come again.
Yeah.
I think our structure in this country, when we went professional, they didn't put any structure in place. It's Pandora's box. do what you like. Well, that's the worst thing that ever happened, because there was no structure in place. We all decry the Super Four teams, don't we? But they consistently beat us internationally. Consistently beat us. If we took it on a pro rata basis, how many times do we lose to them? More often than we beat them. So the only way to get better at something is copy success. Now, how many players, other than Danny Cipriani, have gone down to... He hasn't gone there yet. And he hasn't played yet. How long he's going to be down there, we don't know, do we? But how many players from the north go to the south and have a successful career down there? I can't think of anyone.
But I think that's a matter of money, isn't it? I mean,
and also because they won't pick them if they come north. And also because they've got no relegation, they can afford to play their own players and develop their own players. We can't afford to develop our own players. How many players play in the first division and actually qualify to play outside half of England? Very, very few. So it's like our football teams. We buy in the success, but the detriment to our national game. And you look at our rugby teams and you read off the team sheet. Look at Leicester. Welshman playing in the front row. Italian, Argentinian.
Yeah.
Back row was a New Zealand guy, Tungalangi, good old English name. You can go through the side, can't you? And you go through Gloucester's team, same thing. But if you've got to survive, that's what you've got to do. I'm not decrying for doing it. What I'm saying is that the detriment of our national game.
Yeah.
That's what's happened, because every club needs to survive.
Mm.
But if you look at the first class sides that play, and you take out all those players that are qualified to play for England, and you bet you'll find there's seven players that aren't qualified to play for England. In Ireland, this system now has benefited them more than anything else. Their rugby has come up, leaps and bounds, because their club rugby was no good. In all honesty, I played against Irish club sides, and they weren't good. The provincial game, this Heineken Cup game, has really brought their game on leaps and bounds. It really has put them as a force, exposed their players to a higher standard of rugby on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, they've put all of their good players into three sides.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it's, that's the structure of our game. And I think it needs changing.
Yeah.
You know, I've been lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. Very grateful for the Gloucester Rugby Club. Very grateful for a lot of great men and great times.
Yeah.
And I don't regret that at all. People say, any regrets? Well, there's every life got a regret. But I also had so many pluses playing down there. How can you not enjoy playing in that atmosphere down there? You know, it was a great feeling to play there, a great feeling to walk outside the ground when you won. When you lost, you just want to sit in that change rooms and not come out. It wasn't a very nice feeling at all. But, you know, it meant so much to the people of the area, and to have homegrown players come and play. But I think because of the nature of the area, they put that red and white on. They don't care if they come from Timbuktu, as long as they're successful.
Yeah.
That's all they want.
But it's quite interesting to talk to Andy Hazel about that now, because very often he's the only Gloucester player, Gloucester boy in the side, as to how he's finding it more difficult now to really get across to these people coming from all over the world to play for Gloucester, as to what it really means to play for Gloucester.
Yeah, what it used to mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. You, again, I suppose because I felt the expectations of so many people. And you look around the boards and the great men gone before.
Yeah.
And I thought, you owe it to them and their memories to, do your bit. And don't forget Peter Ford said, do your bit and pass it on.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that.
You're
Phil.
Welcome, Ash. You're
it's
welcome.
Been fascinating.
No, there was a lot of rubbish on there, but I hope you can edit it out and make it sensible.